A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fagador Laurie Blake.
Hey, mate.
Hey, bud.
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you? Yeah,
very, very well.
Yeah. How are you feeling after the Prince Charles show?
Tired. 90% tired.
Yeah.
It was a long day, but it was very nice. Mm-hmm. Film was a big old bag of balls, but
it is what it is.
As you would imagine it would be. But yeah, it was a very enjoyable experience. Lovely to see so many people turn up.
It was lovely, actually. I had a jolly good time, but I am still tired.
Yeah, well, I'd gone climbing at 6 in the morning that day, mm-hmm. so I really kicked my week off with a bang that I haven't recovered from.
Because I was up early to watch Raw, and then I was just thinking about the show like throughout the day. And then like last night, I was like, oh yeah, I could really do like a nice little like lie-in or something. Or, you know, go in early night. Nope, we decided to go to the cinema for a film that didn't start until 8:20.
Oh,
which means that we didn't get home until like midnight, basically, because films can't be short now, can they? Can't wrap things up quickly, especially if it's a comedy. It's got to be 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours of comedy is a long time. Like,
but I would say...
There aren't that many beats to a comedy film.
Because I went to go see Long Shot, and it is... Excellent.
Yes.
Really, really good. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. Seth Rogen's great. Charlize Theron's awesome. Like, she's so, so great. And Judah and Rayfield's amazing. Like, really, really good cast. But it is quite funny as well because, like, the film has quite clear parodies of Donald Trump and Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah.
It is just like, you know, the president in the movie is a movie actor who wants to step down. Oh, no, he's a TV actor who wants to step down as president to achieve his lofty goal of being a movie star. Because it's very difficult to transition from being a TV star into movies. And they're like, well, yeah, Woody Harrelson and George Clooney, they're about the only two people who've made it. And so that's a running gag throughout the film. But also, like, there's this media conglomerate that keeps buying newspapers and they have, like, these awful misogynistic... hosts on there,
right?
Which is it's Fox and Friends is what they're parodying.
Yeah.
And there is this character in there, it's played by Andy Serkis. So you've got like these two very, very wrought, not subtle in any way parodies. And then there's a scene like in the movie where one of the characters that you like goes like, oh, by the way, I'm a Republican and I'm a Christian. And
it kind of
and it's meant to sort of like trying to challenge you to be like, you know, not all Republicans are the same.
No, they're not. But
absolutely not.
But the worst ones are the worst.
Exactly. Yeah. It just felt so weird to be in this movie where it's like, God, aren't Republicans though? Look at Donald Trump. He's terrible. Look at Fox. Aren't they a big bag of balls? And then a character goes, and then O'Shea Jackson stands up and be like, by the way, I'm a Republican. You're like, well, I like him.
Yeah.
It was a bit on
the
nose.
Maybe we could talk him round.
It was a bit on the nose. Mm. And that was I think that there's a lot to be said in that of like, shouldn't all judge all Republicans by Donald Trump?
Tories are gammon.
Exactly, yeah. Not all, yeah, I know some Tories, Tory supporters who aren't pricks. So it's fine. Well, But it's but the problem is the film doesn't then like give you, oh, I'm a Republican for X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
I believe in this, and this. It's very much just a case of, oh, I am one.
Some people can hide their terrible beliefs.
But I do recommend it.
He's the real monster in the film, Luke.
He's hiding in plain sight, like Voldemort.
Yeah. Meanwhile, over on Netflix, we've got a film where it's like, look at Ted Bundy's romance. Like, my lord.
Oh, what a world. But I do recommend it. It's my film recommendation of the week. I thought it was excellent. But we're excited for Detective Pikachu because that's
Detective
out tomorrow.
Detective Pikachu.
Out tomorrow. I'm dead excited. Trailer for it was on before Long Shot last night. And my wife said, I'm not sure I can go see the film.
Yeah.
And I was like, really?
What? But where?
I was like, really? And she was like, yeah, I mean, it does look good, but I cannot listen to the Pokemon talk. I cannot get on board with Pika Pika. I cannot hear it for too long.
But then, well, I don't think most of them will. I don't think most of them will talk. I think the joke is that, yeah, Ryan Reynolds says Pika Pika, and yeah. I feel like the rest of the trailer, you don't hear anyone else talk, do you?
I think that's so what
like,
she's worried.
I think
about.
They're just going to make grunts, like in the. Because there's a difference in like the kids' anime stuff in Pokemon where they do just say Babathar, Babathar, Babababathar, Baba over and over again. But then all the adults sort of like they've done like sort of darker, skewed anime stuff like Pokemon Origins,
yeah,
in which all the Pokemon just make animal style sounds. So I don't think you're going to get too much Charmander, Jigglypuff.
I do like the bit when he walks into the cage match against Charizard. Yeah. He's like, ah, I've fought this guy loads of times. Yeah. Like, this will be fine.
Can't get it up. Pika Pika.
Pika Pika. So yeah, I'm stoked for that. I was going to go to the pictures tonight because my wife was out, but there is nothing else on at the cinema at the moment.
Now it's all Pikachu.
Unless it's Endgame.
See you again.
Yeah, but we're actually going to be talking about sort of tangentially linked to Detective Pikachu in the outro portion of this podcast. We're a nice little tease there for you. But let's crack on with the show where we're going to be talking about, and this is news for you because I haven't even told you what we're talking about in the show yet.
I've seen it on the thumbnail.
Oh, okay. It's The Forgotten Sons. We're going to be talking about The Forgotten Sons Mega Push. Is it too soon? Here's the show. We're going to be kicking things off today talking about the Viking Raiders.
Who?
Hoopst? I did actually write down initially in my notes, War Raiders.
Yes.
Because I thought to myself, they're the War Raiders in NXT, right?
Yeah, and we've not seen... Well, they... Yeah.
We saw them once. We saw them in the Street Profits match.
Yes.
Which we thought was a tag title match, and it wasn't.
Yeah, and what were they billed as there?
They were billed as the War Raiders then, because it was taped before they did the call.
Yeah.
So they were still the
but
War Raiders.
But it's weird to have not just gone back and... change that. I don't know.
But yeah, so they were the Viking Raiders here, and I think they've been sort of advertised as Viking Raiders since, more or less. Because they're going to be in action next week, I think.
Yes, but they were also called Ivar and Eric. I feel like there would have been a interim point where you go, fine, change the team name. Probably best to still call them Hanson and Rose. That's what the NXT crowd know them as?
Yeah, well, you know.
I can't wait for next week when they just have to just pretend like that didn't happen.
Do you know what? No one watches NXT anyway, so
no,
it's
apparently
absolutely
not.
Fine. But yeah, they're trying to like leave the PC, because apparently they still visit there, even though they're on the road with Raw.
Yeah, it's a bit busy.
With the chance to even go over to SmackDown with
it's
the Wildcat.
It's the best place to work out.
Well, exactly. But they're attacked by the Forgotten Sons. We see this quite cool. It's via like security cam footage.
Mm-hmm.
And... they're sort of leaving the building, and all of a sudden, Jackson Ryker pulls up in his like truck, and then from out of nowhere, Cutler and Blake just start beating them down, and they throw a bin at them, and all this sort of stuff. Like you can see look, there's the bin that's
have
being
a bin.
Thrown at them, and they start attacking them. And they said that Viking Raiders will be on NXT next week. It's force of habit, I think. Viking Raiders will be on the show next week.
The Experience Raiders, I think you're fine.
Oh, sorry, my apologies. The Raiding Experience will be on the show next week. And it appears to be we're pushing in the direction of doing Viking Raiders versus the Forgotten Sons, mm-hmm. possibly for the tag titles, which one would assume then means the Forgotten Sons could be winning the tag mm-hmm. titles. We're not going to go... There are things that have happened post this, spoiler-wise, in terms of NXT. So we're not going to discuss that because... this is a spoiler-free zone.
Mm.
So they appear to be heading in the direction that the Forgotten Sons could be in line to be the next NXT Tag Team Champions.
Yeah.
And I thought I would pose the question to you. This is a discussion part of the show. Is it too soon for the Forgotten Sons to win the tag straps?
You're dang right it's too soon. Of course it's too soon. Like... the War Raiders, and it's just because, the War Raiders were like, there was a big panic on the main roster where they're like, we need guys, so bring up the War Raiders, bring up Black and Ricochet. We tried to get Gargano and Ciampa, almost thankfully for Johnny Gargano, Ciampa got injured to the point or had to have surgery, like, so that he gets to finish his run in NXT.
Got to find those silver linings.
You got to find the silver linings. That's actually almost like a weird bit of luck to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Shame he didn't get to finish the actual story they were doing, but they still had one of the matches. Johnny Gargano still got to have like a match of the year kind of thing.
Got to look at those silver linings.
Yes, very small silver linings here.
They could have ended up in a feud against Hawkins and Ryder or
something. I know! Well, they could have ended up Raw Tag Team Champs pretty quickly, I imagine. But yeah, so obviously this is NXT having to scramble because someone else had a panic and a scramble.
Mm-hmm.
And this is them going like, well, what do we do now? Like,
what do we do with the Raiders now?
Yeah, and I think the it's a good choice, the Forgotten Sons, I think, to stick, like, because you could have done the safe option and just whacked it back on the Undisputed Era. But realistically, they're doing their own
thing. They've got their own issues.
Yeah, so I think the Forgotten Sons, if they are going the way of becoming the tag champs, it is a good choice because I think heel factions are going to work better for the kind of tag teams that they've got ready to chase, like Street Profits, like the like all these other teams that they've kind of got, Birch and Lorcan, if they're still going to be around, like, they need heels to have the belts because all the people who could chase them are faces.
And because they're like a trio faction as well. Yeah, so it almost feels like it's like a hostile takeover.
Well, they've got the monster guy.
Yeah,
like,
with,
you know,
Riker.
Yeah.
So there's some stuff that you can do with there with like the plucky babyface tag team, like Street Profits chasing against the Forgotten Sons. It's quite a nice little story.
Yeah, I think we should be setting the Street Profits up to be the tag team champions because, one, they deserve it. I think they're amazing. But also, the best way to do it is them overcoming seemingly insurmountable odds.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't help though that they got mushed up by the War Raiders, quite handily. But
they were knocked out the first round of the Dusty Classic as well, weren't they?
Yeah.
That was a terrible little run for them at that point. But you know, they did.
But
really
the Dusty
well.
Classic, they just like tag teams that are just two guys.
Yeah,
just two dudes stuck together.
But the Forgotten Sons, I think, like you, I think they are a good choice to be next in line for the NXT Tag Team Championships because, you know, you got the Jackson Riker thing in there as well. They're heels. They're quite dominant heels. But also, it will then kind of add some level of credence and sort of a level of prestige to the Dusty Classic. Because they did make it to the finals.
Yes. Yeah.
Was it the finals or was it the semifinals?
They were the... Who was the... No, the
was
so the,
what's the finals, wasn't it?
Was it the finals? I thought it was the finals. It was Black and Ricochet versus...
Yeah, the Forgotten Sons. Yeah. Then Black and Ricochet won, right?
Yeah, and then they went on to face the Viking Experience Raiders.
Okay, let's quickly Google this live on air.
Double checking.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Yeah. Previous winners. The Forgotten Sons, Aleister Black and Ricochet was the final. Yeah. So I think them being in the finals of the Dusty Classic kind of did that really elevated them up the tag division because we said when the tournament was going on, they were the one team I didn't expect to go very far.
No, yeah. But they actually managed to pull out quite a few good matches there. They seem
really
to be like
stuff.
They're very capable when they're elevated or what, like on at matching a level, I think.
Well, the match against Black and Ricochet was great.
Yes.
And I thought the Mustache Mountain match was really good as well. So I think it could be argued that it's too soon of a mega push. In the Dusty Classic, it felt like it was too soon of a mega push there.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off the back of that, though.
But they knew stuff was happening already, though. They were already aware that they were about to be gutted.
Yes.
Like,
they saw
the knife.
Mania's coming.
Whoa, it was, you know.
Mania season's nearly over. Like, we're going to lose a lot of these guys.
It's the psycho shower moment. They'd seen the curtain be peeled back, and they were like, ah!
So I think that at the Dusty Classic, I would have said, yes, it is too soon for this mega push for these guys. But off the back of that, maybe not so much. Maybe it's not too soon.
Oh, I think the problem is the answer is that somebody was going to have to get a mega push, and it might as well be these guys. Like, realistically, your only other option, to my mind, is Undisputed Era, and that would be pretty boring. And they're doing something that seems really interesting the moment,
I think. Interesting.
They're doing a really cool storyline with that. So we could just whack the belts back on them and then go back to normal Undisputed Era business. But that stifles that tag division, which they've already done enough so far. Like, they've had fantastic matches, but it's been in a very specific pocket of the NXT universe against like the same sets of guys over and over again. So it's good to see it mixed up and have someone else chase it. But I also think having a really quite terrible heel faction running the show on NXT is a storyline that they'll get a lot of mileage out of. Because the problem is with the problem with the Undisputed Era is they're so over that no one is going to, like, people don't actually want to see them lose the belts when they have the belts. So the benefit of putting it on the Forgotten Sons is whoever is chasing, there's going to be that moment when they finally win the belts from them.
Yeah.
And everyone goes ballistic because people don't want them to have the belts.
Particularly if it is someone like the Street Profits.
Yes.
Chasing the belts, because they feel like they're the most natural fit to chase the Forgotten Sons.
Yes.
Kind of sucks that they don't get their, like, their moment of glory over the War Raiders, because I felt like that we were kind of building towards that.
Yes, yeah. They tried all the tactics and they tried all the stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, getting something over the Forgotten Sons, if they are then pushed as these sort of, like, monster tag champs, yeah. Almost like the way that AOP were pushed when they won the belts, of just like, yeah, man, like, you guys don't stand a chance against them. Yeah. But then you finally get the big win over them and it's like, woohoo, yeah, we won.
Well, I think that while there's no plan, it's better to just have people with the belts who are kind of a safe bet, in the sense that you're always going to be happy when they lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not having a plan and giving it to the Street Profits now and not knowing what you're really going to do with them as the champions, that's one way to kill their momentum completely. Whereas at least this way, you can just keep them off telly, put the Forgotten Sons in their place, who are always going to get the same reaction. People don't like you.
Yeah.
So then when you start to heat up the Street Profits, whoever else is chasing, everyone goes like, okay, I'm back into this now.
Yeah.
And you can just keep them, you can keep their sort of vibe about them, this kind of groundswell of support behind the Street Profits. They're kind of cool in their credence. Like,
yeah.
And then later on, just use that. Like, when you're ready to deploy it, deploy it. Don't do it now.
Yeah.
And then be like, what do we do with the Street Profits, man?
Yeah, now
what
do we do?
What do we do?
Well, I mean, I would say that I think they are a solid, solid choice to be the next tag champs.
Yeah.
I'm behind it. But what do you think in the chat? Why don't you let us know? Randy, let's ask you, what do you think? Do you think it's too soon to be pushing the Forgotten Sons into this position?
Yeah, I just don't find them particularly interesting, to be honest.
No?
Or should I put the...
That's good. You can put the camera on yourself.
Yeah, I just don't find them a particularly interesting group. They're not someone I enjoy watching particularly. there are teams that have been there for much longer who the fans get behind much more.
Who would your pick be?
Street Profits.
Just put it straight under the Profits?
Yeah, just... I feel like they've got enough charisma to just kind of do it and then just hold the belts for a while longer, and then they can drop it and then feud with Eric Young and stuff on Raw.
Cool.
Deep insight
from Randy Anderson.
With Bailey dressed as Sting on Raw. Sorry.
Well, obviously, that's the only way to go with Bailey.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Before we do that, we have got some $25 shout-outs for our Patreon pledge hammers that we've got to read out. If you want to become one of these people, just go over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk and become one of our awesome $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. Just like these fine people. Jonathan, the Headmaster Headman.
Yeah. Woo, Jonathan.
You get your own cert, you get your own special name and everything.
Damian Wayne Wade Wilson.
Oh, yes. Hey. Lovely stuff.
I trust you as Sam Farah as I can throw you.
Still my favourite. Still my favourite name I'll come up with. Have a cup of tea, Lee.
Yay! Yorkshire tea. Caught in a Travis Webber.
Oh, hey. Spider-Man. Lovely stuff.
We're going on a Brian Huntley.
Yes, we are.
Going to catch a big one.
Charlie, drink it in, Z-Man.
Yeah!
Nice. King George Phillips.
Who we saw at the Prince Charles on Tuesday. Nice to see you again.
The Perfect Storm, Noah Trombley.
Oh, yeah, the Perfect Storm. There can only be one, our legend. Woo. Highlander, yes.
Now, I don't know how this goes, but Robert Spencer. Period.
Lovely, that's pretty good. It's Monty Brown, it's a very 2005 reference.
Michael Sands of Time.
Prince of Persia. John's secret...
Nothing to do with that. Prince of Persia.
John, the secret Santos.
Yay!
Big Apple takedown, Lindsay Monroe.
Oh, you blocked it, you book. And finally, it's Butter Me Up, Sir Nord.
Butter me up, butter mate. Me up. Build me up, Buttercup.
Sir Nord.
It's Sir and he's...
Thank you very much, Randy. That's it for your inputs.
So, Nicholas Belgraf, no message, but a little donation there from Nicholas.
Thank you very much,
Nicholas.
Louise Marie says, good midnight from Melbourne, friends.
Hey, it's our Australian contingent.
Yeah, was she the one who complained last week about starting just before she went to bed? I think she was.
I like the fact that we've got like a really strong like Aussie contingent that because it is bedtime.
Yeah,
when we go live, that people are watching us. It's almost like a
bedtime
ritual.
We should start ending with like a story.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like we could read the tiger who came to tea or something as the last bit of the. Every ramble.
Yeah. I mean, a good, that'd be a great way to end
exactly,
this show.
Yeah.
We actually do have, we've got a special surprise to go over at the end because you and I have been sent a gift.
What?
I know. And it's interesting. And I've
Have you misread the word GIF? Been sent a GIF.
We've been sent a GIF and it's just for you and I. No, it's a gift, but it was sent specifically for you and me.
Ooh.
Which is hilarious because Ollie's very jealous.
It's wigs.
So we're going to find, I don't know what it is, but we're going to find out at the end of the show what it is. Little tease for you.
Shajon Aberdeen, you have not done a super chat, but you have tried to spoil Endgame. So stop it and I have banned you. So Tomo says, if the War Viking Experience Machine Raiders face the Forgotten Daughters, one of the teams will win.
Very smart.
Yeah, Adam. Yep, one of them will
clearly
win,
a betting man.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you for that, Tomo. XG Krampus says, that Riddle Cole match was goddamn brilliant. I'm sure we'll get to that. That Forgotten Sons ambush was like a mob hit with them blocking the exit with a car.
It was cool, actually.
I liked it.
I really liked it. I thought it was a really well shot. And it was a cool presentation as well because it was the security cam footage. Mm. I really dug it.
See, I like the idea of them as this sort of like really rogue faction and going further than anyone else would go. Like, yeah. Really play on the sort of knockoff Sons of Anarchy vibes that they're going for. Like,
I also think it's another interesting avenue you can go down with the Forgotten Sons if you are giving them this big old mega push into the tag title picture is that because the Undisputed Era are imploding, it could almost work as a bit of a babyface turn for the Undisputed Era.
Yes, yeah.
To then go against the Forgotten Sons who are like, look, while you guys were dicking around between yourselves, we took over this place.
Yes, yeah.
We did everything that you were trying to do.
I like Faction War.
Yeah. And that'd be really cool. Mm. Yeah. And I mean, the Unspeed era is so over as babyfaces that I think people are ready to just start cheering them for being the awesome dudes that they are.
Yeah, people don't care.
No.
It's really just, they're tweeners without really trying. It's just,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
People have just started giving us as you were talking about Australia, the time. People are giving us what time it is where they are. So we've got 10:19 in New York. We've got 7:19
New York. I love New York.
In Arizona.
So awesome, New York. It's a brilliant
place. You're not listening, Luke.
Oh, sorry.
It's 12:19 a.m. in Australia, 9:18 in Missouri. 3:18 p.m. obviously here.
It's funny, someone sent a message on Discord earlier this week that said that the podcast has really gone downhill since we started doing it as a live stream. And I think it's this kind of content that they're talking about, where we're just reading time zones
talking
now.
Bollocks. Sorry, talking things.
It's not a swear, it's fine.
I think you can get away with that one. Super chats, please.
Yes, JobberJJ496 says, at least NXT are trying to make them interesting.
That, yep, absolutely, yeah. I mean, and I think there's chance of, like, Stay Forgotten have disappeared.
Yeah.
And the crowd behind them as heels.
They've had, like, the good thing is that the NXT gave them enough in-ring time to eventually have that good match we were all waiting for and do the right thing with Jackson Ryker. They just need to stay in the pocket.
Stay on
target. Just keep doing that.
Like, stay on target. You
know. Total Blurred says, is there any way you guys could let us know what big independent wrestlers we should be looking out for?
It depends on what you mean for looking out for. It's like who's going to be like a star in something like AEW or WWE down the line. Because instantly my mind went to David Starr. But,
Yeah.
But he's not going to be going to. No. I mean, he'll do some stuff with Ring of Honor. But he won't. So we interviewed him. I mean, we personally didn't, but like WrestleTalk interviewed him over Progress Super Strong Style 16 weekend. And I was just editing the interviews then. That's when the reason why it's come to mind. And he was talking about how that he's turned down WWE because once you go there, you can't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
And he does consider himself truly independent. So but he's now living in the UK.
Yeah.
For healthcare. Because it's free here.
Smart.
Smart man. And so he's going to be very much on the British scene and probably less on the American scene.
Mm.
He might be still doing some stuff in the American scene, but David Starr is so, so good.
He's incredibly popular.
He did say that he's going to wait to see how AEW plays out.
Yeah.
As to whether or not he might consider going over there for something, because
yeah.
At the moment it's an unknown quantity, not in terms of its quality or if it's going to be on TV or if it's going to be on pay-per-view. It's just that if I go there, am I stuck there?
Yeah.
Or am I truly independent and I can go anywhere
I want?
Well,
yeah, exactly. Are they going to stick to their sort? Because they had said previously that when they're going to have people appear at AEW, they would be allowed to do other stuff. Like, you know, Jericho's still going to get to do New Japan stuff. Like, Kenny Omega most likely is going to do that sort of stuff too.
Because
New Japan are really
going
to want
that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think they're going to be very open to collaborating. But whether that's only with other really big promotions or with the likes of Progress, who are a WWE promotion, but that also then comes, like a WWE feeder, I guess. But that also comes with like what a WWE saying back as well.
Yeah. So. The other two names I would certainly throw out, one of which is most likely going to be a big star within the company, is Jimmy Havoc with All Elite Wrestling.
Jimmy
if Jimmy is given the creative freedom that I'd imagine he has or is going to be given with All Elite.
Yeah.
He's going to produce some absolutely incredible stuff over there. Sitting with Darby Allin in that promotion as well. So I think there's going to be some really interesting stuff coming out of Jimmy Havoc. But I'll always get it back for my boy Chris Brooks.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Brooks is
love
an incredible.
Brooks, yeah.
Love Brooks. Great independent talent. He turned down WWE. He's one of those guys. He was going to go over with Banks. And he turned it down. So whether he goes to All Elite, I don't know. But
Brooks is great.
He's so good. And basically, you go to any British wrestling show, you'll see Chris Brooks there. He's great.
Aussie Open signed anywhere?
No. Yes,
your
another good
favorites.
Yeah, my other faves, Aussie Open's a great show.
They are amazing.
Oh, they're so good. Carl Fletcher, Jordan Devlin match. Good.
Unbelievable.
Crikey, that's going to end up my top 10 match of the year.
Yeah?
Amazing. Loved it.
Tomo says, Randy Datsun merch for the win. So I've got one more supporter still. Robert Johnson says, watching from God's own country, county, Wakefield, Yorkshire. Keep up the good work.
Beautiful part of the world. Beautiful part of the world. And the best tea.
Absolutely.
I have Yorkshire tea in my desk.
I know, I'm quite jealous of it. Yeah. I don't want to steal it from you.
You can have some if you want.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Thanks,
bud.
It's pretty cheap. It's tea in it. It's real cheap over here.
Thomas Lagden, who was one of the anti-Randy merch of yesterday, says, hey, Randy. And then he says another one, which is it just me or did the Undisputed Era bit at the end feel a bit messy? Might be something to do with the crowd going crazy, but felt a bit sloppy.
Oh, what, them arguing? I don't know. I didn't think it was sloppy. I quite liked it.
No, I liked it.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
That's it.
That's it. Yeah. Cool. Right. Well, let's crack on into the show itself. This was a pretty, it was a very solid episode of NXT.
Yes.
With a kick-ass main event.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it was all built around, and I think that that's what NXT are doing quite well at the moment. Like, the start of the show is basically telling you, here is what you need to be excited about for this week. Mm-hmm. Last week it was Kushida is debuting tonight.
Yeah.
And tonight it was Matt Riddle versus Adam Cole, baby, in the main event. Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes, please. More of that. Thank
Absolutely.
You. More 20-minute matches on NXT.
And with two short matches that kind of sort of act
storyline,
as a,
storyline
as a buffer for them. Yeah. Well, we'll get on to the second one as a storyline thing. I've got some thoughts.
You do?
I've got some thoughts.
Yeah. One of my notes just goes, who saw that coming?
We're kicking things off with a match that was set up last week between Mia Yim and Bianca Belair. What are you doing? And I thought it was a really good clash because they're two very, very confident characters. Mm-hmm. Mia Yim, she's the head baddie in charge, mm-hmm. Inspector Gadget, Dr. Claw. And Bianca Belair, still in her mindset, is undefeated. So it was a really
in
nice...
In reality, delusional.
Yeah. In reality, can't win. Keeps getting pinned in big matches. And I thought there's a really nice clash there of characters. Two very strong-minded characters going at it. And that really played out in the start of the match.
Yes, when they traded blows, basically, and moves. And it was like arm drag for arm drag. And then they did this brilliant Matrix block arm drag where they both just went, okay.
Yeah.
And then that's when they went for the sort of mutual, they were going to go fist bump or,
yeah,
I think it was a fist bump or a sort of arm bump, that one on there. And then Bianca just was like,
booted her.
I'm going to boot you.
I'm just going to boot you.
I'm going to boot you.
And she worked over it, like, and then Yim started to make a comeback. And I like the finish of this as well because Mim does a sunset flip powerbomb and Bella does the big old comedy sell where you go, no, I can't get the right. And then eventually she does get to the ropes, but Yim pulls her back down. She gets back up and she uses her hair round the rope for the leverage. I thought it was actually quite creative.
Well, I thought it was really good as well because it was brilliantly done and sold by the ref. I think this whole spot, because the brilliant, like, oh, and then she goes, she gets the ropes, and then she sits down into the pin.
Yes.
And so the ref drops down to count, but then goes, no, you got to let go of the ropes.
Yeah.
And so Bianca Belair lets go of the ropes, like, really does the dramatic, like, let's go of the ropes. And the crowd go like, yes, the rules! The rules are being enforced! And then that's when Yim rolls her up.
Yeah.
And then so then when she rolls back up and does the hair whip, the ref doesn't see it. She's gone down the other way to count here. So it was such a good bit of ring psychology that I really enjoyed.
I really liked it because I never really buy into the, I've got my hands on the ropes.
Yeah.
Leverage.
Well, because I imagine that this spot, I was looking at this match and I was like, they like both of these stars. And I just imagined that it was a Baszler run-in.
Mm.
Like, as soon as I saw it, because that's what we've had for a lot of the time. I was like, this is just going to be a Baszler, Duke and Shafir running
schmoz
finish. And instead it was a very cleverly done finish that protects both people.
Yeah. I thought it was really, really cool. The hands on the ropes for leverage is just one of those things that we accept in wrestling. It's I guess it makes sense.
You're not pushing down on them.
Yeah. I guess it makes sense in the world of wrestling in the same way that you're running against the ropes, you just bounce back.
Mm.
But I thought this was a really clever way of doing that.
Yeah.
Of like putting a different spin on it. And as you say, with the referee's position and everything, really smart, protected both of them. And it's another nice little wrinkle to the Bianca Belair character.
Yes.
She in her mindset, she's undefeated. Now she's got to cheat to win.
Yes. She doesn't... Well, that's the thing. She doesn't mind as long as she doesn't lose.
Yeah.
Really. That's kind of her vibe. It's not even... I don't even think she thinks that's cheating. I think she thinks she's using every advantage she has.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. But it's brilliant for Mia Yim as well because you could see Mia Yim in the ring at the end turning to the ref and being like, come on!
And it got really good heat from the crowd as well. Really, really good heat. And then we got the Viking Raiders Forgotten Son bit. And then speaking of Duke and Shafir and Baszler, they were training down the Performance Center. All of a sudden, Io Shirai runs in and starts battering Baszler. Then everyone runs in, including Robbie Brookside. Yeah. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Why are you doing this?
It was really cool, actually. And again, because it was shot from, Shafir had set up a phone to record themselves doing their training. So it doesn't feel staged and forced, like, oh, it just so happens that a camera crew was there. It was like, no, this is footage that we shot.
Yeah, they were, going to watch back their own tapes. Yeah.
I thought it was really, really cool. I like this.
Yeah, I really like the idea of like a fired up Io Shirai who's like, no, you've gone too far now. Like, yeah. I am now coming for you three.
Exactly, yeah.
In the way that you've been doing for everyone else on this
you've
roster.
You've been blindsiding me. Now yeah. I'm going to blindside you when you're not expecting it.
And I think it's a good thing with Io as well, because she, like, I think promos wise, same with Kairi Sane, like they struggled with sort of firing up people through promos just because the language barrier was mm-hmm. there. And having
just take Paige with them.
Having people do stuff like this is just a really good way of telling that same sort of gutsy story, but just through physical action.
Yeah. Oh, that was really cool. What was not quite so cool though is our next match.
I actually quite like this.
Raul Mendoza took on the returning Riddick Moss.
Yes.
Riddick Moss hasn't been on TV since, I think it was like April last year. Mm. He had a big old injury. He was a former tag team with Tito Sabatelli. He's like a proper WWE homegrown talent.
Yes, yeah.
He was on Breaking Ground a lot. He's been there for a long time.
They were like,
time.
What were they? They were like suit wearing gold stand. What was their thing? Kim and Tino.
Basically, was just like, we are like muscle statues.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
And you are indie darlings, and that therefore we are good. And he has got a new gimmick, which is basically Simon Dean from back in the day. And this had a proper 2005 stink all over it. And it's one of those things where I'm like, this is never going to get over.
I didn't mind it.
I didn't like it as
well. I thought they could have gone harder on the execution of it. Because they printed off a sticker and stuck it to a water bottle. But like, I think if he'd done like the whole, if he'd branded everything and like, there was supplements and all this stuff. Like, you could go really far with it, more than just like he takes breaks in the matches to like do whatever that muscle drill thing is he had. Whatever it was. Yeah, like, and drink some water and all that
just
stuff.
Got to stay hydrated.
Because I liked, there were some bits of it though. I liked the bit where he catches him and he does a couple of reps. Like, I like the sort of superiority complex idea of it. But yeah, I can see why it was a bit shonky.
It feels too gimmicky.
Yes, it does. But it was weird though, because I was like, well, he's getting this big return and this whole new repackaging. And like, yeah, Raul Mendoza's had a very subtle repackaging in the fact that he's got new gear and a jacket and he wears a hat to the ring.
Man. Hey,
which,
you know what?
Great gear, by the way.
Absolutely.
Loved it. I thought that was cool stuff.
New hats worked so well for Malibu Stacey. Like, everyone loves a new hat.
Yeah, true. But yeah, I just never expected the outcome.
No.
I was like, huh?
Yeah. Okay, so Riddick Moss's new gimmick is that he has got the Riddick Regiment?
The Riddick Regiment. And he was told by doctors when he was injured that he'd be out for 2 years or something like that. Mm. And they said he actually defied medical help and didn't do what he was told by doctors and instead followed his own Riddick Regimen. And that's why he was able to get back to the ring quicker. I like this. I'm not sure we should be telling kids to not listen to doctors.
But he is a heel.
He is a heel,
I guess.
But he still came back to the ring. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a heel or not. Like, the proof is in the pudding, Luke. Yeah. He's back in the ring.
Absolutely true. It's the same way Ryback speared that lass into a pool. She came out as a bikini model.
Mm.
If you take your supplements, it just happens.
Hey, I took cod liver oil one time.
Sorry, Randy Datson.
Well, he actually returned in November last year, so it can't have been...
Did he?
Yeah.
To do what?
Live events.
Oh,
but
okay.
Like this, so he can't have taken that many supplements if it took him between November and now to actually come back.
Well, there you go. The more you know. So he's back in action. He's got this.
He was still printing the sticker for his water bottle.
Yeah,
that's so why
the Riddick Regiments is his new thing. And at one point in the match, he has to go over and take some water, and you've got Nigel going, got to stay hydrated. It's very important.
Tries to pour it into Raul Mendoza's mouth, who bats it away.
Yeah, bats it away, and then. Mendoza wins. It's this springboard, like, spinny flip-de-do and pins
him. Yeah, but sideways spinny.
Yeah, like a sideways spinny thing, and he pins
him. A 360 senton splash kind of vibe.
And the commentators put it over like he'd just pinned Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Like, the crowd popped big for it. And you got, like, Nigel Shannon commentary, this is a major upset. I was like, is it?
Yeah.
Like, Riddick lost all the time when he was here first time round. He doesn't win anything.
It's size, mate. It's size.
Yeah, I did not particularly like the segment. And I will rescind my this will never get over line, because should never make the presumptions like that. That's my bad. I don't think it will get over. Yeah. I'm willing to be wrong, and I will.
Well, it won't get over if he keeps losing. Yeah. You know, especially with, yeah. like Mendoza, when he came out, seemed massively over. He got a pretty big pop when yeah. he appeared, and then got the huge pop at the end as well. Yeah. So he's getting some sort
I think
of...
so everyone, like you and I, all expected that, hey, Riddick's back, he's got a new gimmick, he's probably going to win here. Yeah, so getting the surprise win, just putting it over like he just won.
And then
the
was everyone like me at the beginning when they went, he's got a hat!
Yeah.
Whoa, look at that hat!
But she's got a new hat.
What a great jacket!
So the match was fun. Mm. This gimmick just reeks of 2005 for me. I just think, I feel like we've passed all this sort of very gimmicky stuff. It's the sort of thing that people don't like about Lacey Evans.
Bugenhagen.
Bugenhagen's very different.
He is.
Bugenhagen's very different. It's the sort of thing people don't like about Lacey Evans, that she feels too gimmicky in this sort of like world where Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey headline WrestleMania, where they're not characters, they're just themselves amplified.
Yes, but I think you can do all these things, but you just don't have to lean so heavily into the gimmick aspect.
It's with
like,
stickers.
You know, yeah, like with stickers or Lacey Evans teaching people manners. Like you can use the language of that,
yes,
but without having to literally do it,
which is what I think they did with Lacey in NXT.
yeah,
like, Lacey in NXT didn't feel like she was this gimmicky that she is on the main roster. Yeah. Like sending invitations to other people, like to come join me for dinner parties,
and wear formal attire
and it's like, oh, it smells of peach cobbler. So this doesn't feel like the Lacey Evans that we saw then in NXT.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. Like, I think a lot of NXT, like normally NXT's gimmicks are very much just a almost just physical gimmicks. It's just like, that's just what they look like. It's a look more than it is. Like, obviously No Way Jose had the thing, and Adam Rose had the party,
the conga line.
But like, yeah, there are bits where there are proper gimmicks, like Prince Pretty as well down there. But that's that, like, simpler stuff gets over. But when you extrapolate it out into, well, she's a Southern Belle, so she has to do all the things that Southern Belles do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. That's it, yeah. It's main roster rooms.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. But we've got a recap of Kushida's debut last week. He'll be back next week in action. And then we've got our main event of the show, which was Adam Cole versus Matt Riddle in a corking little match.
Yeah.
This was rad.
I really enjoyed it.
Thrilled when I looked at the timeline and there was 20 minutes left in this show. And I was like, oh, brilliant.
Yeah, full.
We're going to get like a full 15, 20 minute match here.
Yeah. Matt Riddle looked like he was having a lovely time as well when he came out, and he just took time to just bro fist every single person in the front row.
God, Matt Riddle's cool. Yeah, Adam Cole feels like an absolute star. I had quite a few favorite spots in this, but like in particular, I loved Cole doing the step up enziguri, and Riddle answered during the selling of this enziguri by grabbing him and deadlift German suplexing him.
Yeah,
it was like
it was
a wicked sequence.
So yeah, because Cole ends up turned around on the floor,
yes,
having just done
it,
and he Riddle reels backwards, but as he comes forward, he just grabs him and just
launches him. Deadlift, release, German suplex.
That was amazing. Amazing spot.
That was wicked. And you had Riddle trying to do a fireman's carry, and as he lifted him up, Adam Cole slipped behind him and hit like a backstabber on him. It was really, really good stuff. I thought this was absolutely tremendous. Thought they really sold the ankle lock spot well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because he had him in the ankle lock, and Cole was doing everything he could to get out of it. But in trying to get out of it, Riddle just grabbed the other ankle and just twisted that instead. I thought it was rad. I loved it.
But also, importantly, like, this is kind of, again, another part of the Undisputed Era's decline, right? So, like, Cole hits the last shot. A move which, actually, commentary did a good job of pointing out, hitherto hadn't really been kicked out of. Gargano was the first person to ever kick out of the last shot on NXT at TakeOver. And that was why Cole was so...
That's why Cole didn't win.
Yeah, exactly why Cole didn't win. But that... It's now as almost as if the power of the Undisputed Era is waning within NXT, and that even the finisher isn't protected anymore.
It's like Freddy Krueger in Freddy vs. Jason, because people have stopped talking about him. He lost all of his powers.
It's about Pennywise. People aren't scared of him anymore. Like,
and Riddle kicks out of the last shot. And as you say, like, Mauro Ranallo on commentary was like, that means Riddle's the second person to kick out of that move, the second ever person to kick out of that move. I think it's a really, really cool story.
Yeah.
And then you have... Riddle's making his comeback. He hits a V trigger and a go to sleep and a big knee.
Oh, that was the go to sleep bit.
Yeah.
So he go to sleep, power bomb, flips him over, huge knee.
So cool. And then here comes Roderick Strong.
Mm.
And as we've seen on the NXT shows for the last couple of weeks, basically, I would argue every single week since, you know, for the last 3-4 weeks, pretty much since WrestleMania, we might as well have had the same thumbnail for this show, which is the end of the Undisputed Era, but we have to try and got to think of different talking points. But this is a lovely new chapter to this.
Mm-hmm.
Roderick Strong runs down. These two have been, they've been having their troubles for the past couple of weeks. And Strong helps Cole back up, gets him back into the ring, and that's what allows him to... is that where they get the last shot in, or is it...
No, so that's after that. So the last shot already happened. So
yeah,
Cole
it was
actually,
a super kick.
So Roddy, after that whole blitz by Riddle with the V-trigger and the powerbomb and the go to sleep, Cole rolls out of the ring, like veteran style, and that's when Roddy runs down. He helps him to his feet.
Oh, WWE 2K19 tactic.
Yeah, just get out of there. Comes down, picks him up. And then Riddle comes out to get them both. Penalty kicks
Roddy
at Cole, but hits Roddy. Cole scurries up back into the ring. Riddle jumps down to deal with Roddy. And then as Riddle turns to get back in the ring, he does a flip over the top rope.
But
as he does that, straight into a super kick by Cole.
And people bought that as the finish. Yep. Myself included, I was like, oh, that's a cool little finish. That'd be because Roddy essentially helped him win.
But Cole has got very good at super kicking people as they're doing a flip.
Yeah. And no, Riddle kicks out. But as he kicks out, grabs Cole in the bro mission, and Cole taps out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Roddy gets into the ring. The rest of the era run down to kind of help out their brother in arms. And
chase off Riddle as well.
And Cole shrugs off Roderick Strong, and then they go off into their separate corners. And once again, it's Kyle O'Reilly with Adam Cole and Bobby Fish with Roderick Strong. Very, very subtle staging. I love it so much. Don't want this group to split up, but I don't think they are.
No, but I want to see that. I want to see that tag match.
Me too. We are just leading into
especially when Fish and O'Reilly have to get in the ring together and have to be like, "Well, we're going to have to do this." Like,
it's going to be amazing if it goes in that direction, of course. And they even leave in those two pairings.
Yeah,
like Fish and Strong leaves together, even though all four of them technically do leave at the same time. It's just very, and they were just sort of like shouting each other, mouthing off, and they have this line from Adam Cole. It's all off mic, obviously just picked up by the camera mic, where he's walking away and he says, "I've been losing big matches and it's always when he's involved."
Yep.
I won that five-way on my own.
Yeah.
That's great. Like, in his head, he's like, I'm not losing because I'm rubbish.
No.
I'm losing because he's here.
Yeah, he's the ultimate ego. I loved how long they let that segment run as well. Like, as soon as the match was over, they did such a good job of just like enough sort of back and forth banter. The crowd really got into it. They were doing hug it out, hug it out. And there was a bit where like Roddy was really like, come on, man. Like,
yep, we've got to do
let's
this.
Let's go with him. And Cole was just like, nah, forget it, Roddy, and got out the other side of the ring. So good.
It's really well staged. It's really well executed. I could see them coming out of this the other side of being like, we are a much stronger unit now, babyface unit.
Yep.
And you've got to have the split and come back together. I think Mauro Ranallo put this over on commentary as well, where he's like, Cole said at the start of the year that the Undisputed Era are going to be dripping in gold.
Yep.
And all they're dripping in is, you know, confusion. So they're just battling each other. They're just like, they're imploding. That's a great story. Like, the start of this year, they were like, this is going to be it. 2019 is the era of the Undisputed. And actually, it's been the worst year for them so far. Hopefully they can come out better the other side. But I'm super excited. I love this story.
Yeah, I can't wait to see where it goes, because I think there's so many options. Like, I think there could be this is, you know, part of a process of like trickery that they're going to play into later on. Like, if they cotton on to the fact that like people think they're splitting up, because they did that. They have already done that spot slightly before, where Johnny was like, "Oh, where's Roddy?"
Yeah,
and then Roddy slides in and beats him down, and then all that stuff. Maybe this is all a long game plan. Like, that could be an option. Maybe there's a change in the leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe Roddy becomes the leader of the Undisputed Era for a bit, and then that leads to like a power struggle again.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, or maybe they reform fully at full strength as babyfaces. And there's a lot you can do with this.
And there was a WWE.com video that was released afterwards as well. I saw this on Twitter, which is them arguing backstage, and it is Fish and O'Reilly trying to hold back Cole while he's shouting. And Strong takes off a t-shirt and just throws it to them, and he doesn't have the armband either. And Cole grabs the armband and says, "Maybe you don't deserve to wear this."
Yeah,
and sort of storms off. And Kyle O'Reilly picks it up, being like, this is sad. Yeah.
We'll give it to someone else.
Who else was in Ring of Honor? So I thought it was a really strong episode of NXT, particularly with a killer main event.
Yeah, it's a wicked match.
not massively sold on Riddick Moss's gimmick, but you know, I'm ready to be proven wrong.
It can hopefully be worked on.
Absolutely. I'm so ready to be proven wrong. Mm. But yes, good show. What did you think?
I really, really enjoyed it. I think it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Even the Riddick Moss match I enjoyed for the moments in it. For Mendoza winning as well, specifically, I popped for that. I was like, what? This is so good. I think he did a lot, and I am interested to see what's going to happen, because they've actually managed to make stories that aren't really about the titles, because for some reason they don't really know what's going on with the titles. They've made that work for them,
yeah,
which I'm very pleased about. Like, it's nice to see the Undisputed Era having a storyline that doesn't even involve the gold.
Yeah, very interesting actually, talking about the gold. We'll come on to the super chats in just a second, Randy, but you might be able to help us out with this as well. But Dijak's injured, right?
Yeah
How long's he out for?
3 months.
3 months. So that really puts a damper on Velveteen Dream's feud with him. Really opens up Velveteen Dream for some options here. Kushida's just debuted. Mm-hmm. I think Keith Lee's back now. So there's quite a few. Jackson Ryker, if you're going to do like the Forgotten Sons versus the Viking Raiders or whatever,
you can have Jackson Ryker going up. Three belts, yeah.
Yeah, exciting times. Randy Datson, super chats, please.
Yes, let's go. We got quite a few more this time, so that's nice. Thank you very everyone who has donated. Dustin Pilon, possibly, as I say every day. I first saw Gunner in TNA, I told anyone who would listen that he is money. Can't wait for more Jackson Ryker push in any capacity.
He is a friend of a WrestleTalk fan. Well, actually, the Fishmonger. One of the original crap gimmicks, the Fishmonger. Jackson Ryker's one of his friends. He keeps sending us pictures of the two of them together, hanging out.
Oh.
Yeah,
nice.
Jackson Ryker supports WrestleTalk, confirmed.
Of course he does. As does Matt Riddle. Zachary Marsh says,
and the Young Bucks.
Have you guys ever watched a death match, and what was the worst spot you've ever seen from one? Also, make Andy Fatson fight in WWE 2K19 Gauntlet match to earn merch.
That's a gimmick we could do next week, I guess.
Yeah.
I've seen death matches.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some gruesome.
Well, so we showed the clip at the Prince Charles when we were watching Ready to Rumble of David Arquette in his death match.
With Nick Gage.
In which Nick Gage slips after they do a spot with a light tube, and Gage breaks it over Arquette's forehead and then proceeds to jab him in the forehead with a pointy end. But somewhere in that whole confusion, slips and just across his neck.
Yeah.
That's probably the worst spot I've ever seen. It was a botch, but it was a...
Not pretty.
No.
I mean, I know I've been into a lot of backyard stuff. I'm bearing in mind, like, I was a teenager in the early 2000s when backyard wrestling was a big deal. So, like, after school, you'd be like, there'd be some backyard feds that you can go and visit.
Mm.
And light tubes are plenty sort of there. And that was done very unsafely. I've seen some variously horrible stuff. Mm. And, of course, Lego bricks.
I think surprisingly it's that sort of stuff that is the worst. The spot in the Jimmy Havoc Sammy Callahan match that we saw at Wrestling MediaCon.
Paper cuts.
No. So paper cuts are bad. Like, and I like the fact that they're completely safe, but they just look. It just looks
horrible.
It's so visceral.
Yeah.
But there's a spot in that in which they pour a load of thumbtacks on the floor. Jimmy Havoc's shoes somehow end up off through.
He said in our interview that he's very bad at tying laces.
Yeah, so he ends up with his shoes off, and then he gets up on the turnbuckle to do a double-footed stomp onto Callahan, who rolls out of the way. So Jimmy Havoc just 2 foot into a bunch of thumbtacks.
Yeah.
That is one of the worst spots I've ever seen.
And I can tell you how bad that is. When we WrestleTalk.com's interview with Jimmy Havoc, which will be released as a podcast tomorrow, it's his least favourite spot to do.
Is it?
And Jimmy Havoc, in that interview, also said, bleeding is easier than running, which is why I do death matches. And I like the taste of my own blood.
Oh, my God.
Laurie, I was going to say the exact same one. He had a death match last year at Super Strong Style with Joey Janela.
Yes, yeah.
And he did the same spot with just walking in on thumbtacks. And my God, there was a girl in front of me who had like a phobia of feet. And she was like almost vomiting. She had to turn around and like, I just basically had to have a covered conversation with her. She's like, is it done? Like,
no, there's more feet. He's grown extra legs.
My favorite part from that wrestling media
match. Be sick.
Was that Jimmy versus Callahan was the main event.
Mm.
And they had it as the main event because it was a family friendly event. They were like, we've got to put this on the match last so that the parents and the kids can leave and they won't have missed other main events we could do.
The show.
So throughout the night...
Because the cleanup is a pain.
Well, exactly. But they kept saying, this match is going to be very, very violent. It's coming up soon. We will give you lots of warning that it's going to be happening. And the match started and I just thought to myself, well, there's no families here now. Within about 5 minutes, I saw a dad and his kid legged out the room as if the dad thought, ah, it won't be that bad, will it? That'd be fine. Yeah, yeah. Can't imagine it'd be that. It's only wrestling, innit? Was it that lad said in that TMZ clip we showed at Wrestling MediaCon?
Oh, people get stabbed.
People get stabbed.
People get stabbed.
We're talking about, it's about deathmatch wrestling. Google TMZ's coverage of David Arquette's injury.
So
it is
funny.
The worst. It is the worst. It's three people who, or four people who know nothing about wrestling talking about deathmatch.
Oh, no, that one guy. That one, he knows. That's why he's so flippant with the people get stabbed.
People get stabbed. I just like the idea of this dad just going like, it won't be that bad. Yeah. No, that was suddenly wrestling. Amazing. And then legging it.
Like, what? No, I've seen wrestling and I thought it was fake. But this was not.
those are real. That's real.
That's a weapon.
right, should we do a couple more? Craig Brown says, I wonder if the gift that you two got is Randy merch.
Well,
it better not be, otherwise I'll send it back.
That'd be pretty weird if it was.
I feel like Rachel likes us, so I don't think it will be.
Who's Rachel?
It's the person who sent it to us.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Rachel.
It's a head.
JobberJJ496 says, how's the undefeated mindset work when she tapped out?
Well, that's it. It's a mindset. She, in her head, she is undefeated. Okay. It's a mental thing. She's mentally undefeated.
Mr. Michael Law 2011 says, I feel as though the Forgotten Sons should talk about how fans chant "We forgot you," but yet they forgot the homeless veterans outside.
Of Full Sail. Could be. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good way to get heat.
James Williams says, please tell SoCal Val I said hi.
Oh, she was just here.
She was just here.
We'll say next time she's here.
Yes. Ant the Great says, just got my NXT 25 tickets. Just want to say thank you to everyone at WrestleTalk. You brought back my love of wrestling. Living behind Titan Towers is not as awesome as one would think. Put me down for more WrestleTalk merch.
Well, thank you very, very much. You're the reason we do this. And enjoy TakeOver 25. Mm. We'll likely be watching it live, doing a live stream.
Should be awesome. Jobber JJ, where is Bugenhagen?
Where is the Boogs?
Where is Boogs? They're afraid of him getting too over.
Mm, exactly.
Yeah, I think he's. I don't know.
If they put him on TV every
now,
week,
there's
an
out for him to do. Like, oh, it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good entrance and a good. He's not a good match. He's a good.
Strong disagree. Strong disagree. A Roderick Strong disagree.
Tomo says some people want Tomo merch. Should happen before Pete merch becomes a thing. Just saying, I am over.
Everyone's getting merch these days.
Yeah, you can just make your own.
Make your own. Yeah, just get your own big
card. Randy did.
People keep saying, "Oh, I didn't make that. Nate made that."
You made that.
People are saying you need merch, but I was like, I'm pointing out you've already got merch.
I have already got merch.
Yeah, he has got merch.
Buy my T-shirt.
Yeah, at WrestleTalk.BigCartel.com. Evie Duran turned heel on me, saying Chopper Pete is the best. Hi Luke. Hi Laurie. Also hi to Ollie, even though he's not there on camera. I think that's everyone.
There's Housemate Simon.
There is Housemate Simon.
Yeah, good point. Just Housemate.
Is he coming in to do the it? Oh, so yeah, we're going to be moving over to Screen Stalker once this is finished, because in around 10 minutes, the trailer for It Chapter 2 drops. So we're going to do, we're going to watch it, and then we're going to stream some live reactions to it. Spooky, spooky, spooky.
Spooky dudes. Mm-hmm.
Tomo, I see your precious bird raptor in the background.
Yeah, there he is. Mm. I'm amazed that it's taken a few people to realize that it's there.
Well, a lot of people are saying, what's that pink thing?
It's bird
raptor.
Bigum Steve says, do you think Riddle will be next in line for NXT Championship, or do you think he'll be feuding with more of the Undisputed Era till Strong leaves, and then he does a spoiler for the next taping, so he won't do that?
He's clearly like being pushed as one of the top guys in that brand. So, yeah, he's definitely going to be in that championship picture by the end of the year. If not champion by the end of the year.
And finally, from Adam Pearson, my best friend, who says, which wrestler would you most like to interview?
Oh,
you wanted to do Walter, didn't you?
Well, yeah, but I didn't do the Walter interview in the end because I thought Louis can do that because I wanted a beer instead.
Yeah.
I went to Progress.
I want to interview beers is what I want to interview.
Louis's not old enough to have beer anyway. So.
He's 18. I showed up to the event all prepared to like interview Bolton, and then as soon as I got there, I was like, I don't want to do work.
Yeah,
I just want to watch the wrestling.
I want to have beer and a wrestling.
So I thought, oh, we'll let Louis do it instead. He'd done all the other interviews, so it just made sense for him to do it. Who would I like to interview? Triple H. Triple H. Do a big deep dive interview with Triple H about his career. David Arquette.
I think I just want to play games with wrestlers. I want to play games with Adam Cole.
Yeah. There's actually quite a few people in NXT that I'd, oh, and WWE that I think would be fun interviews. Like Xavier Woods would probably be a really fun interview.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's I have interviewed Xavier Woods.
I was going to say you have, haven't you? Yeah.
Ember Moon, she's a big D&D fan.
Yeah, we could just talk about D&D.
Yeah. Tyler Breeze also plays D&D. Aiden English is playing D&D with them.
Yeah. We can talk about.
Alexa Bliss has played D&D with
them. Me and Aiden English could talk about how we've lost our hair.
You look exact same.
We've had to shave it off.
You could be like, but you're me!
Like the Spider-Man meme. We're just pointing at each other.
Deuce from Deuce and Domino. Sanj TP is the last one, actually. He says, where is Casey Carolina Liar?
Which was on TV last week, wasn't she? Was it last week?
Yeah, I think she's mostly propping up the WWE PC YouTube channel because every single video is about Casey Catamaran.
Oh, they love her so much. Right, let's do this gift that was sent to us. This was sent to us by Rachel. It said, I sent you and Laurie a gift last week. Just want to make sure you got it. I don't know how delivery works in the UK. So
they bring it to you.
I've got it right here because it did arrive. I will do it this other way. Our address is not visible. And it says, if you like the gift, could you give a shout out to my friend Ziggy? Now, how do I get
Hi, Ziggy.
Thing? Hi, Ziggy.
Well, while Luke attempts to work this out.
You have to like it first.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we have to like, so we don't give the shout. I rescind my shout out, Ziggy.
Why can't I not?
You be patient.
Do you want a hand?
Do you want
a,
yeah.
Do you want some keys or something?
Yeah, I need some keys. Have you got scissors, have you? I thought it might be like a nice easy tear thing.
Yeah, no.
No. Oh, he's
sadly
got the teeth
not.
On
oh,
it.
Oh, there he goes.
Look at him go.
The animal.
He's done it still.
Look at the creature go.
It's going to come back.
It's
with
a shame you can't see. Can't
now.
See on his camera, but he's mauling it currently.
He is, and it's just about going well. It's just there he goes. Good work, mate.
Datsun Strong style.
That was not to be seen on camera.
No.
That was disgusting. But to a rocket. Ooh, it's going to be very nice for Andy. It's a Magic the Gathering Spellcaster cards. It's a starter kit. The Spellslinger.
Ooh. I used to play that.
You did indeed. Thank you very, very much. Because
be
I think it's probably because we've been burying Magic the Gathering on this show. So, we've been sent some magic.
Shout out to Ziggy now.
Let's have a look.
Oh, no. So I'm going to give back my shout out to Ziggy.
I re-give
Ziggy.
Here's your shout out, Ziggy.
Ziggy starters. Ziggy played guitar.
This looks fun.
Yes. We can play that because we know we got it as a start, so we'll play that later on.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us where you were yesterday? Or are you?
Oh yes, yeah. No, sorry. I was like, whoa, where was I yesterday? I went to the Cineworld in Leicester Square in the middle of the day to go to their super screen, which is a really big screen. To play Smash Bros. Ultimate with a bunch of other YouTube channels.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
And when you say you went to play Smash Bros. Ultimate, you mean on the cinema screen?
On the cinema screen, yes.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Apparently, very easy to set up.
Mm-hmm.
Any old schmuck can rent it. Like, this is the thing. They're pushing the idea that, like, you can, for your birthday, just rent a cinema screen to play games on.
Yeah.
I've already said to Ollie, surely that's our Christmas party this year.
Yeah, right?
Ideally, our summer party. not that we've got a history of having those.
Ideally, next week.
Ideally, yeah. Let's go tomorrow. You're not doing anything tonight, Luke. Let's go now. But great fun. Really, really cool. Like a weird experience as well, because actually it's almost too big, because there's bits of the game where you're like, you're watching your character and you are missing half the screen because you just cannot see it. It's such an awesome way to play games. Really, really cool. Apparently, like, if you can turn it all the way up, it is deafening as well.
I'd
really
imagine
turn the sound
so
all the way
yeah
up, yeah,
absolutely.
Super fun though. Super, super fun.
Yes. Well, that is another recommendation for us. But we have got to go do a live show very, very shortly. And I've just seen that something has gone terribly wrong with the stream. So I need to go fix that.
Yes.
Thank you, Andy. And thank you. That was actually partly my fault. Anyway, we'll be back on the Saturday show. I've got to do this very rapid, very quickly. We've got a special podcast being released tomorrow with interviews from the stars of Progress Super Strong Style 16, including NXT UK champion Walter and Trent Seven and Jordan Grace from Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor's Mark Haskins, AEW's Jimmy Havoc, and Darby Allin. So we've got that coming up tomorrow. Take care. Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.